Actually, rather than a sermonette, officially this is a preamble to our special music for today. And for our special music on this seventh and last day of Unleavened Bread, the seventh and last day of Unleavened Bread, we're going to watch and listen to a video performance of the last closing chorus of Handel's well-known oratorio, Messiah. I want to just read you first off the wonderful finale we're about to listen to this afternoon. So here's the words to it. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and hath redeemed us to God by his blood to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And he kind of repeats it back in the other direction. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Now, in some ways, we might think that this particular selection might be better suited to the last great day rather than to the last day of unleavened bread. And maybe, in some respects, that might be true. But I believe that the initial mention of the slaying of the Lamb of God here on the first line of this chorus does make this piece of music very relevant to the spring Holy Day season. When we think of the symbolism of this seventh and final day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, I think we can see that it does symbolize a certain element of finality. Okay, maybe not as final as that of the last great day, it's true. But still, a conclusion and a completion of a kind. For one thing, this last day of unleavened bread symbolizes the complete coming out of the Egypt of Satan's world and of sin. Also, it's a kind of symbolic conclusion and closing off of the initial stages of our conversion and hence of our salvation. In a nutshell, that is what Jesus did. What Jesus did for us, yes. Jesus did all of this for us, period. As the modern saying goes, we can draw a line under it. The initial part of our conversion and our salvation is complete. It can't be changed. In fact, long ago, well in advance, Jesus and his Father, of course, assisted by their holy angels, they set up the unalterable timing and conditions for their whole saga to be enacted, yes, just like the performance of a play. And as we read through the gospel accounts, especially as we get close to the death of Jesus, we start to see how remarkably miraculous that was. Everything fell into place according to God's will, all according to their design. But it all was planned. The whole thing was planned way back in prehistory. Please turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And just one verse. One verse is here. 34. Matthew chapter 25 verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amazing, okay? Please turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, along these same lines. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he, talking about the Lord Yahweh, the one who became our Lord Jesus Christ, said, "As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although," read this now, brethren, "the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Astonishing. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. And then finally, for this section, over to Revelation chapter 13, which brings it right in line with this spring holy day season. And let's skip over the middle phrase of this verse. So this is Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. Let's just skip over the middle verse just to better get the meaning here. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." Worship who? "The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." So I said that it was unchangeable. Now Satan, the spiritual Pharaoh in the story, repeatedly tried his hardest to have God's great plan changed and confused and messed up. He did. Or even cancelled altogether. That's what he would have liked. But if he couldn't cancel it, he's going to confuse it for the majority of mankind. But of course, Jesus and God the Father intervened and overruled Satan, and Satan failed. But only we, brethren, only we individually can change. You know, we can't change Jesus' sacrifice. Again, the line's been drawn under that. That's done. But we individually can change only the application of Jesus' sacrifice, and only to ourselves individually, by failing to continue to overcome, by giving up, by failing to continue on our walk towards our otherwise guaranteed prize. But again, they, talking about our Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, and God the Father, have completed their parts in our conversion and salvation process. All of this comes out in this music, brethren. The text of Handel's Messiah, the words called the libretto, the posh people call it the libretto, was compiled from the King James Version Bible verses by a man named by the name of Charles Jennens. He lived in, I think he was born in 1700, died in 1773, and he was an English landowner. He was a patron of the arts, and he was a good friend of Handel. What I want to do now, brethren, is to go through the libretto, to go through the words, but I want to go through it where they're found in, where Jennens found them in the New Testament, actually all in Revelation chapter 5. So please turn to Revelation chapter 5 and let's hopscotch through this, brethren. Revelation chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. "And I," the Apostle John, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts," in the New King James Version, we read that as living creatures, not beasts, to confuse it. These were holy spirit beings, living creatures. "And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain." So the Apostle John beheld the Lamb of God. In this God-inspired vision, the Apostle John beheld the Lamb. He beheld the final, ultimate fulfillment of the slain Passover Lamb. Once again, although we have not yet completed our parts in the salvation process, Jesus has completed the initial part, his initial part, by purposely and voluntarily allowing himself to be slain. Verse 7, "And he," the Lamb of God, He, the Lamb, came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Who's that? That's God the Father. He took the book out of God the Father who's sitting on the throne. Verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now evidently this action of the Lamb taking the book from his Father, it reads past tense, but it's going to be in the future. So this action will be an important occurrence, as it'll be specially marked by these 28 high-ranking spirit beings falling down in an extra special act of extra special worship right in front of the Lamb. Right there, and of course, God the Father is there as well. Still in verse 8, having every one of them harps with which to accompany themselves with the new song that's going to be mentioned in the next verse, and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And those prayers, brethren, are precious to Jesus and his Father. And these vials are an antitype of the temple's symbolic golden censers, which were filled with sweet-smelling incense, and the smoke of that incense ascended to God, as our prayers do. Verse 9, and they, talking about this small but very powerful 28-person choir here, sang a new song, saying, you, Lamb of God, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain, because you were slain. So yes, Jesus is worthy, and Jesus will be worthy to take that book that will be offered to him by his Father and to open its seals, its formerly restrictive seals. He's going to open them and reveal lots of stuff in there. We haven't got time to go through all of them. But why is Jesus worthy? What is it that entitles him to be legally authorized to do these things? And the answer is because he, the very Lamb of God, the most precious fulfillment of the Passover Lamb, has allowed his most precious self to be slain. Verse 9, and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So by Jesus' blood, Jesus' blood, brethren, which has never failed us yet, he has redeemed his little flock. Those few who've been especially chosen from the foundation of the world, the faithful members of his true church, and chosen, not just chosen from physical Israel, but all of those who've been made spiritual Israelites, and chosen out of every race on earth and made to be spiritual Israelites. Jesus and his Father have redeemed us all. Jesus and his Father have bought us all back, has reclaimed us from the spiritual Pharaoh, who is our former slave owner, Satan, the devil. But not only have they redeemed us, they've also endowed us. And they've endowed us humble and formerly lowly human specimens, with very high offices. Verse 10. And has made us, past tense there, brethren, has made us unto our God kings and priests, and during the millennium period, we shall reign on the earth. Next, we read of the little choir, the little 28, say person choir, the 28 being choir, we read of it, that little choir being augmented, actually hugely augmented, hugely expanded, verse 11. And I beheld, John beheld again, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them, brethren, was 10,000 times 10,000. That's 100 million, brethren. Plus even more, thousands of thousands more, over 100 million. Now, when we see the video today, you'll see this huge choir. It's Australian choir. 600 voices there. A little more than 600 voices in this choir that we're going. Now, that is a big choir. That's a huge choir by human standards. So, as you watch and we listen to this performance today, please just try to imagine a choir of over 100 million angels, all of them singing these very same words, but that's not all. So here come the amazing words that go right into Handel's Messiah here. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Yes, you know, worthy is he to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then now just try and imagine this. We got this 100 million plus choir already, right? And now verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, or more likely singing, brethren, or more likely singing. And then he turns these words back to front again. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, talking about God the Father, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. So every single created being in the whole universe who's alive at that time, joining in with these multiple millions of angels, all singing these same words of praise. And then, finally, verse 14, and the four beasts, please note that, these four living creatures said, Amen, Amen. So be it. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lives forever and ever. So when we see this, when we watch this video, at the beginning of the finale Amen chorus, so there's two choruses actually that are put together there, and the last one is Amen. And this, in this unique Australian performance that we're about to listen to, please notice that instead of the usual full choir that sing the opening lines to the Amen chorus, the conductor has changed it, and he's chosen to use a vocal quartet, four singers, beginning with a bass baritone, then gradually adding in the other three solo voices, and this reminds me of the four living creatures. So the bass baritone, then the tenor, then the countertenor and the soprano. Immediately following this short vocal quartet, the Amen theme is then quietly repeated on a solo violin. So beautiful. So that is followed finally for the final bars of the oratorio. It's followed by a contrasting, absolute explosion of sound, an explosion of praise by the full choir. So once again, brethren, to mark the conclusion of this Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread season, we have the concluding chorus, two choruses, of Handel's Messiah performed by Celeste Lazarenko, soprano, Nicholas Tolput, who's a countertenor, Andrew Goodwin, tenor, Christopher Richardson, bass baritone, the Sydney Philharmonic Orchestra, and a much augmented Sydney Philharmonic Chorus, all under the baton of conductor Brett Waymark.